today by the mercy and potency of Sri Chaturanga and Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, we'll be taking a serious look at the last two songs of Saranagati. These bhajans are called Vignapti, a spiritual request, and Srinam Mahatmya, the glories of the holy name. The preoccupation of both these songs is the holy name and our relationship with him. But aren't we discussing Saranagati, surrendering to Krishna? So why are the last two songs dedicated to the holy name? To answer this question, we need to revisit the introductory song of Saranagati in light of some things that Krishnadas Kaviraj tells us in Adi 3 and in Adi 4. So I'm going to read from Krishnadas Kaviraj first, and then we'll have a look at the introductory song again. We're looking at Adi 3, 19 and 20. I shall personally inaugurate the religion of the age, Nam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name. I shall make the world dance in ecstasy, realizing the four mellows of loving devotional service. I shall accept the role of a devotee, and I shall teach devotional service by practicing it myself. So this is Krishna's plan, but he implements it. And we hear about that in 94, we're looking at 38 to 41. When the Lord desired to appear for another reason, the time for promulgating the religion of the age also arose. Thus, with true intentions, the Lord appeared with his devotees and tasted the nectar of prem with the chanting, congregational chanting of the holy name. Thus he spread kirtan even amongst the untouchables. He wove a wreath of the holy name and prem with which he garlanded the entire material world. In this way, assuming the sentiment of a devotee, he preached devotional service by practicing it himself. I read the first paragraph of Prabhupada's purport to 41. When Srila Rupa Goswami met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Prayag, Allahabad, he offered his respectful obeisances by submitting that Lord Chaitanya was more magnanimous than any other avatar of Krishna because he was distributing love of Krishna. His mission was to enhance love of Godhead. In the human form of life, the highest achievement is to attain the platform of love of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya did not invent a system of religion as people sometimes assume. Religious systems are meant to show the existence of God, who is then generally approached as a cosmic order supplier. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental mission is to distribute love of Godhead to everyone. Anyone who accepts God as the Supreme can take to the process of chanting Hare Krishna and become a lover of God. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is the most magnanimous. This munificent broadcasting of the devotional service is possible only for Krishna himself. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. So, quite often, when we hear this kind of thing, the sophisticate in us says, oh, that's external. That's external. I'm only interested in the internal reason for Mahaprabhu's descent. But let's be real. The external reason he came, isn't that about us? Aren't we Bahimukh? So take these two songs very much to heart, because so much insight is given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in terms of not only Mahaprabhu's mood and mission, but Prabhupada's also. So have a listen. So clearly, Swayam Bhagavan Gaur's external reason for coming wasn't just to teach the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. His specific intention was to freely distribute Krishna Prem through the chanting of the holy name, even amongst the untouchables. Now we have a very self-deceptive understanding of our position. At least I do. Being a devotee for a few years, I'm a Vaishnava. What a joke. Scratch the surface, what's there? Aren't we amongst the untouchables that Mahaprabhu came to give prem and the holy name to? I mean, let's be real. You know? So let's have a look at the introductory song in light of that. First two verses in particular. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended from the eternal spiritual world along with his personal associates and divine abode, incarnating in this temporary material world out of compassion for the fallen souls. In order to freely distribute the gift of ecstatic love of God, which is very difficult to attain, he taught the path of Sharanagati, devotional surrender to the Supreme Lord. This Saranagati is the very life of the true devotees. So this is a very interesting insight given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that he's freely distributing the gift of Krishna Prem. But are we able to acknowledge the preciousness of such a gift? Are we able to fully access it? Answer is no. Unless we have developed a heart that's preoccupied with Krishna and his world as a surrendered servant. No way. No way. What interest are we going to have in love for Krishna if our whole world revolves around us, either as a devotee or as a materialist? The Kanista's world also revolves around himself. So then this is so important that, okay, he wants to distribute it freely, but then he has to set parameters for people to be able to actually to partake of this amazing gift he's giving, and that gift is Saranagati. And here we are talking Mahaprabhu's external reason for descending to save us. Not just to save us in terms of give them Hare Krishna and they can go to Vaikuntha. No. Give them Krishna Prem through the medium of Harinam. Quite amazing. So, and it's also interesting, another point, and this is something we have to take into consideration, especially in the present milieu within the movement, is that he didn't just distribute Krishna Prem for another reason. Why? What was the other reason? Because if you just distribute Krishna Prem without giving a cultural base, you're going amongst the untouchables. You're distributing Krishna Prem through the medium of the holy name. What are you going to get? And we see it, it's rampant right now. What are you going to get? You're going to get Namaparad and you're going to get Sahajism. You're going to get Harinam, which is almost divorced from the reality of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So now, yoga studios in America, run by Maya bodies, they chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Just a little bit off track. Just a little bit. So it, yeah.
I couldn't catch the point. Why it is so?
Because when you give the holy name without giving its cultural base, then it's like you give a child a knife and you don't give any parameters for the child's use of the knife. What's the child going to do? Or hurt itself?
Sometimes, Mataji, a lot of people, they just say, start chanting, just to naturally repeat.
Yeah. But, you know, this kind of preaching is not the way of the Acharyas. I had a devotee up here the other day who chants the Lackaday. Very, very sincere soul, but very, very misled. How does he get his chanted, Lackaday chanted? He chants while he's at work. He chants while he's driving. He does everything that should be done with the right hand with the left hand. So I said, but he said, Babaji, it's my habit now. It's my habit. I said, well, are you chanting Hare Krishna to develop a habit or to develop a relationship? What are you trying to do here? But it's an appropriate preaching. He's a very sincere person, very dedicated to Nam. But he hasn't got a clue what he's doing. He's being misled. So we hear from Prabhupada, we hear from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, we hear from Bhaktivinoda Thakur that the root cause of all other offenses to Nam is inattention. So we understand from this that chanting time is sacred time. Not that I chant while I do 100 other things. I can chant kirtan while I cook or while I, you know, driving to work or whatever I'm doing, but I can't chant on my beads in that way. We have a different relationship with japa. Is that okay? Is that making it clear?
Yes.
Okay, so interesting. He's taught Saranagati, so we have a cultural base and that we can actually take advantage of this amazing gift he's given us. And this is for everybody. In Kali Yuga, our first step is to surrender to the holy name. Factually, practically speaking, in Kali Yuga, the first step is to surrender to the holy name. How do we do that? Hear the holy name. This is such a simple, basic thing, but it's revolutionary. How is it revolutionary? It's revolutionary because we're in a habit of hearing one thing at a time. We have a choice. I can hear Nam or I can hear the mind. If I'm attempting to hear Nam, what happens to mind? Mind is the biggest obstacle to Saranagati. We've given power of attorney to the mind. So just by the act of hearing, we're in effect declaring war on the material energy. That's what we're actually doing. That's why it's so tough. People say, Mataji, it's so difficult to hear. Why can't I just sit and chant? Well, you can if you want to be a parrot next life, that's fine. You may be a parrot in brunch, that's also good. But the thing is, here, the revolution starts with the hearing, not the chanting. It's a big one. So, first take shelter of the holy name. And if we sincerely and seriously do that, the result will actually be amazing. Because what we're in effect doing is giving power of attorney to Nam. All this verse, power of attorney is in the hand of mind. We're taken aback. We're giving it to Nam. Now, when we give power of attorney to Nam, he can do some pretty amazing things, which we're going to explore in this session. He is not only going to bless us with Krishna Prem. Krishna Prem is only the beginning of the real story. It's only the beginning of the little story. He will take us to Braj. He will give us our own eternal spiritual form and engage us in Krishna Nitya Seva. Pretty amazing, isn't it? So let's have a look at the first song for today. It's Vignopti. It's on page 67. We'll first read through it and then we'll highlight a few things. Please tell me, when or when will that day be mine? My offenses will come to an end, and a taste for the pure holy name will be infused within my heart by the power of divine grace. Feeling myself lower than a blade of grass, welcoming the quality of forbearance into my heart, giving honor to all living beings and being freed from false pride, when will I taste the essence of the Amrita of the Holy Name? World followers, beautiful women are described in worldly poetry. I do not want any such bodily pleasures. O Lord Gaurhari, please give me unmotivated devotion to your lotus feet birth after birth. When, while articulating the divine name of Sri Krishna, will my body be thrilled in ecstatic rapture, my words choking with emotion, loss of color, and ecstatic trembling occurring, and streams of tears flowing constantly from my eyes? When in the land of Navadvip, on the banks of the celestial Ganga, will I run about innocently calling out, O Gaur, O Nityananda? Dancing and singing, I wander about like a madman, giving up all consideration of proper social behavior. When will Lord Nityananda be merciful to me and release me from the illusion of worldliness? When will he give me the shade of his own lotus feet and bestow upon me the qualification necessary to enter the marketplace of the holy name? Somehow or other, I shall buy or steal the mellows of the name of Lord Hari. Becoming thoroughly intoxicated by those liquid mellows, I will be stunned by touching the feet of those great souls who are expert in relishing those mellows. I will be constantly immersed in the sweet nectar of the holy name. When will there be an awakening in me of compassion for all fallen souls? Then this Bhakti Vinod will forget his own happiness, and with a meek heart he will set out to propagate by humble solicitation the sacred order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we can see here that Bhakti Vinod Thakur is very much basing this bhajan on different verses from Mahaprabhu Shikshastika. I don't want to deal with the higher echelons because that's not where we're at. I want to deal with the first verse. Let's read it again. Please tell me, when or when will that day be mine? My offenses will come to an end, and the taste for the pure holy name will be infused within my heart by the power of divine grace. So here Bhaktivinoda Thakur is making it very clear that to step beyond Namaparad means to attain Namnistra. So how do we practically do that? Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives very practical advice in another of his works in his Bhajan Rahasya. So I thought we'd take a look at that and discuss it and just see how we can improve our present circumstance. We'll first just read through the first handout. Let's rise above Anisadhanam Bhajan. Sidrani, would you like to read that?
Yes, ma'am. Our checklist based on Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's Bhajan Rahasya Dvitiya Yama Sadhana. Remember how powerful Nam is and how merciful he is. Pray to him about improving your chanting. Regularly remind yourself that your misfortune of having no taste for chanting is the result of your offenses. Be aware of the four categories of anarthas that are blocking your advancement in chanting. Remind yourself that all these can be destroyed by Nam's mercy and sincerely pray to him. Consciously work on making your circumstances more favorable for chanting and practicing Krishna consciousness in general. Carefully avoid the six thorns on the devotional path. See Upadesha Mitra 2. Give up non-devotee association and associate with sincere and serious devotees. See Upadesha Mitra 4. Carefully avoid blaspheming devotees. Rid yourself of desire for prestige and any tendency to manipulate or deceive others. Especially beware of hypocrisy. Endeavor sincerely and seriously to give up the 10 namaparads. Give up false renunciation. Develop honest yukta vairagya. Give up unnecessary religious activity or ritual, especially demigod worship. Give up excessive attachment to rules and regulations and be more conscious of the essential rule. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. Develop your understanding of sambandha, abhideya and prayojan. Develop your understanding of nama tattva. Carefully and consciously develop the six qualities favorable to devotional service. See Upadesha Mitra 3. Strive for genuine devotional association and be very careful about the company you keep. Always deal with devotees appropriately. Maintain yourself without over-endeavor or attachment. Follow the Mahajans, Srila Prabhupada and the disciplic succession. Be committed to the chanting of the holy name in the mood of being his servant.
So here we're looking at a rising above Anisada Nam Bhajan, but then how to stay above it once we've managed to climb out of the dark hole. Let's look at the next page. A few thoughts, but quite deep things that we have to really consider. Would you like to read them, Sivani?
Remember that the behavior of a devotee who's qualified to steadily chant Nam is given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Shastram 3. Consciously and honestly develop such a mindset and behavior. Contemplate and consciously practice the sixfold process of surrender. Consciously work on giving up bodily identification and developing your actual identity. For example, learn and chant CC Adi 6.86.
Remember that?
Chaitanya Radas.
Chaitanya Radas Muri, Chaitanya Radas.
Become tolerant. Be respectful to others, especially devotees. Be humble. Don't seek honor for yourself. Be eager about your bhajan. You can't buy back time. Always be dependent on Krishna's mercy and seriously and sincerely pray for it.
So one of the items in the first page of this handout, the third item, be aware of the four categories of anarthas that are blocking your advancement in chanting. So I thought we'd have a look at those briefly and we can be more aware of them in our daily lives. It's a big help because it gives us some kind of checklist that we can judge ourselves by. So there are four clouds of anarthas which are prohibiting the heart from chanting Sudha Nam. The first is the cloud of weaknesses of heart. Interesting. Attachment to things that are not related to Krishna. Propensity to cheat and find fault. Envy. Desire for recognition. All of these are weaknesses of heart that are hindering any attempt to chant purely. Four kinds of illusion. Illusion about our own identity. We have to remember that it's such an important thing, this thing of who am I? Because if we have a misidentification, it's going to trigger off so many circumstances that are unfavorable. unfavorable for our devotional life. If I am identifying as a businessman, am I going to have the same goals, the same priorities, the same mindset as someone who's identifying as a devotee who does business? It's not going to work. So you see how important it is, how you identify. Everything we're doing in this world is an activity, is a service. But our identity is so important. I really was struck home by it when I was reading Bhagavatam, 12th canto yesterday, last instructions of Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. Very, very interesting. Give up the animalistic propensity of thinking you're going to die. Amazing statement. You're not going to die. You're part and parcel of Krishna. You're just going to drop this machine. But you see, when we have this misidentification, then we're locked in this idea. You see seminars, how would you feel if you have 1 month to live? And all this preoccupation with death. But people who know what life's about, what eternal life is about, they're saying, give up this animalistic propensity for thinking that you're going to die. Whole different ballgame, isn't it? Huh? They're not an illusion. So these four kinds of illusion, strongest one is about our own identity. Also about the position of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, about the process and goal of bhakti. So much misinformation that confuses us, misleads us. And also illusions about what's actually opposing our devotional service. Quite often we get caught up in externals. Oh, if I had this much time. Or if I didn't have three kids. Or if this or that, I could chant purely. And then when the kids are married and you've got all the time in the world because you're retired, well, if I was young, always a reason why I can't do it. But the real reason is why I can't do it is because I'm not serious about things. I'm not actually, it's not a priority. You sit down one day and just honestly write out your priority lists. See how high on the list chanting holy name purely is. See how high on your list spend serious time with Bhagavatam. How high on the list it is. You'd be interested to find out that maybe I have to reconsider my priorities. Four kinds of offense. Namaparad, Sevaraparad by talking deity worship, Sevaraparad, Vaishnavaparad, and Jivaparad. Most serious is Namaparad and Vaishnavaparad, there's two. If we're very careful in relation to the holy name, very little chance that we'll be offensive to the Vaishnavas. Fourth, thirst for the impermanent. When we have these weaknesses of heart, when we're offensive, we're an illusion, then obviously we're interested in the impermanent. That's where we find, oh, yes, that's where my happiness lies. What kind of impermanent? For worldly pleasures, for heavenly pleasures, for mystic powers, and for liberation. Now these anattas, they give birth to six enemies. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, envy. And these anattas, these enemies, they beget six waves: distress, illusion, hunger, thirst, old age, and death. And all of this together as one package, that's the source of our entanglement. And this entanglement is the source of our miseries. So the creeper of devotion, the bhakti lata, it can't healthily grow for as long as these anattas dominate the heart. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells us that we should, something that we should note very carefully. However, all anattas go far away by the performance of Nam Sankirtan. Performance of Nam Sankirtan. No excuse. So many amazing kirtans online. Oh, I live alone, how can I perform Nam Sankirtan? I'm so far from the temple. What now? So many excuses. All you have to do is tune in to Naranjan Maharaj, or tune in. You just have to tune in to somebody who's serious about chanting the holy name. And all of a sudden, you find you're at a sangha, Sabha Sangha festival. You're not in your little box. In the middle of nowhere. All of a sudden, you're in a Sadhu Sangha festival somewhere in Europe and you're chanting with 3,000 devotees. There's no excuse. By mercy, I mean, Kali has given us so much facility. We can use it to degrade, but we can also use it so amazingly for advancement. Same with Bhagavatam. It's such an incredible experience now. Go to Mayapur. Maybe I'll check out. I'll go to YouTube, I'll go here, I'll go there. And you pick up these amazing classes. You're sitting in Vrindavan, but by influence of internet, healthy influence of internet, you pick up a class on the bitter taste of Krishna's mercy. I listened to it this morning by Satchinandana Maharaj.
Yes, sir.
Given 3 years ago, you're hearing it today. Given in Goloka Vrindavan in Germany, you're in Vrindavan. So much amazing facility for Sankirtan.
Yes.
Really incredible. Yeah? So no excuses. Okay, let's go back to the first handout. I want to go through it again. If you have any questions on it, let's hear them. Remember how powerful Nam is and how merciful he is. Pray to him about improving your chanting. Now this seems such a trivial thing, but it's so essential, because often we get ourselves into a very helpless, hopeless mindset because we think everything depends on us. We lock ourselves into a very negative mentality in terms of our chanting. It becomes a ritual instead of a spiritual activity. Spiritual and ritual, same except for three letters, S-P-I. You cut out those three letters, you've got ritual. So then do you want spiritual or do you want ritual? Where's the ritual going to take you? So then this, and what we're talking about here is relationship. Nam Sambandha. Nam Sambandha, if you're talking real, means Nam is master, I am servant. So, and he's a merciful master. So pray to him to improve your chanting. Regularly remind yourself that your misfortune of not having taste for chanting is a result of our offences. We can fall into the illusion there's something wrong with the process.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with the process. Something wrong with us. So then we have to have a serious think about that. Be aware of the four categories of an artist that are blocking our advancement in chanting. Remind yourself that all of these can be destroyed by Nam's mercy. Again, pray to him. consciously work on making your circumstances more favorable for chanting and practicing Krishna consciousness in general. This is a very important one. Because the whole environment that surrounds us on every level, from gross to subtle to ethereal, on every level it is not favorable. It is unfavorable for our devotional practices, for our building our understanding of ourselves as a devotee, or at least a servant of a devotee. So then it's so important. And we're not only talking physical environment. More importantly, we're talking our relationships. If I am in Grihastha Ashram, the greatest damage I can do to my bhajan is to have inappropriate dealings with the family members. If there's not a culture, Madhyam culture is not there, if Krishna is not the center, you're making life really tough for yourself. So it's in our best interests to work on those relationships in a Krishna conscious way. It takes time. People think, I don't want to do that, I've got better things to do with my time, why should I play with the kids? But if I don't play with the kids, if I don't develop that relationship with the kids, when they get a bit older and they get a little bit more intelligent, it's going to be a nightmare trying to deal with them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we've got to grow up with them. They've got to trust us. And we also have to learn how to change roles for that to be effective. I may be parent now, but there will come a time where if you try and maintain that role of being parent, you're going to lose your relationship. Mm-hmm. You have to become friend. You get a child of 16, 17 years of age, no way you're going to be parent and survive. No way. You have to at that time switch gears. Because teenager, what does it mean? On steady ground, no longer a child, not yet an adult, finding ground. They're trying to find their feet. So if you're trying to play parent, you do what I say. Okay, that's what you think, but I know what I'm thinking, I'm going to leave home. You're not going to stay. So at that age, you have to change gears, you have to be friend. You have to be friend at that time, and you have to give them room to make their mistakes. So this consciously work is not just about, you know, I'll put up a few photos. You know, my environment's Krishna conscious. No, we're talking the dynamics of the relationships that are going on. Yeah.
Mataji, with the children it's very clear. There are two circumstances with the parents. One is when the parents are living in the same house.
Mm-hmm.
And there is the other situation when the parents are living independently.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to deal with both of these situations, because like in the congregation a lot of times this happens when the parents are with the devotees.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some cases where the parents are outside the devotees.
Right.
In that case, what should be the devotees' mood?
Well, you're talking about when the parents are living with grown up married couple.
With the devotees.
Okay.
Yes.
Then you're going to have to be you're going to have to be very mature in the way you deal with the circumstance, and you're going to have to be very patient and very tolerant. You're going to have to be very sensitive to where they're coming from, because you can't make adjustments in a household unless you bring people on board. So to do that, you have to know where they're coming from. You have to know what their parameters are. Once you know that, you can understand, okay, it's basically going to be two cultures under one house, There'll be a dividing line. Not physically, but it'll be just an agreement to disagree, we'll agree to disagree. And we'll respect each other for that. But better is that if we can, even if we have to take a few steps backwards, better and to bring them up, better is to take those few steps backwards and befriend them, take the time to explain things to them in a way that they can understand, and then bring the whole family up.
And the second case where they are staying, away. So then...
Well, then you're not going to take responsibility for their circumstance. Mm-hmm. You're not going to take responsibility for them. You'll take care in the sense that you'll regularly give them prasadam. You'll tell them things about Krishna. To the extent that they can take it, they're open to it, mm-hmm. then you'll help. But at least regular prasadam, good kirtan. Whatever they can relate to.
Okay.
But it's a little delicate when there's a... Because of the nature of Kali Yugians, even in Treta Yuga, majority of people were Brahmins. There are four Varnas, but the majority of people were Brahmins. And also in the social structure, community of Brahmins, community of Kshatriyas, community of Sudras and Vaishyas. So that's all supporting your culture, your mindset. So it's very easy to make the little adjustments within the family. They're just petty little things. You've got a cultural base, everybody agrees to it. But in Kali Yuga is the age of uncontrolled mind. And it has no cultural support. It has no parameters. Just have a look at the internet. You can say and do anything you like. Anything you can imagine, you can say it. There's no understanding of truth anymore. And truthful people suffer because of that. They're implicated in something which is completely fabricated, but they've got no way to prove it's wrong. Because this person, another sign of a Kali Yugian, is that their audacity is a sign of their truthfulness. Very audacious. No, this is it. That's crazy. So, that's another reason why we have to develop sanity ground, a basis that's sane for us. And it will take, we have to look at it independently. Each circumstance will be a little different. Okay. Carefully avoid the six thorns on the devotional path. We're talking at Upadeshamrita 2. Once devotional service is spoiled, when it becomes too entangled in the following six activities, eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required, over-endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain, talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters, practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement, or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures and working independently or whimsically, associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness and being greedy for mundane achievements. Now, I'm not going to go through this whole thing. I'm just wanting to give it to you as a very powerful way, gauge how to shape things if you want to rise to Nista, non-Nista. It's a very practical checklist that Bhaktivinoda Thakura has given. So maybe every Ekadasi you can just have a look at it and just see, okay, how am I doing? How am I doing? Okay, now what I wanted to do now is take a look at the last verse of this same bhajan. When will there be an awakening in me of compassion for all fallen souls? Then this Bhakti Vinod will forget his own happiness And with a meek heart, he was set out to propagate by humble solicitation the sacred order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So interesting. How do we forget our own happiness when we want Mahaprabhu's happiness? Factually, this is the only way we can do it. When we want Guru's happiness, when we want Mahaprabhu's happiness. So what Bhaktivinoda Thakura is talking about here is, okay, we're becoming humble servants, humble aura carriers of Mahaprabhu's mission. So then what does that mission look like? Many angles of vision we could take on this. I just want to share one of my favorites from Maria Lila. Just have a look at your next handout. It's called The Potency of Mahaprabhu's Mercy Mission. Very interesting. It's from Maria 14. How powerful is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Without even inquiring about the king, the Lord made everything successful. So the king has been advised by the devotees to dress in the dress of a Vaishnava, to approach Mahaprabhu in his ecstasies and serve him by massaging his feet and by chanting 10th canto verses. So then you're looking at that aspect of the Leela. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is so powerful that it acts automatically. If a person renders loving service to Krishna, it never goes in vain. It is recorded in a spiritual account, and in due time it will fructify. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2:40. In this endeavor there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is particularly bestowed upon all fallen souls in this age the most potent method of devotional service. Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the Lord's holy name. And whoever takes to it through the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is immediately elevated to the transcendental position. As Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32 recommends, Yagnai Sankirtana Prayai Jayanti Hi Suramedasa. A student of Krishna consciousness must receive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Then his devotional service will quickly succeed. So one of the ways that Mahaprabhu is merciful is by giving us process, giving us instruction. And as we're being told here by Prabhupada, the most potent method in this age is Nam Sankirtan. A student, yeah. This is a case of King Prabhupada. One has to be noticed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And a little service with sincere efforts will convince the Lord that one is a proper candidate for returning home back to Godhead. At first Maharaj Prataparudra did not have a chance to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when the Lord saw that the king was serving Lord Jagannath as a menial sweeper, the Lord's mercy upon the king became a solid fact. When Maharaj Prataparudra, in the dress of a Vaishnava, was serving the Lord did not even inquire who he was. Rather, he had compassion upon him and embraced him. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wants to point out that nothing could compare to the Lord's mercy toward Maharaj Prataparudra. Therefore, he uses the word dekha, just see, and Chaitanya Kripa Mahabala. How powerful is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even a little Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy serves as a great asset for spiritual advancement. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement must be spread through the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah.
It's said that the Krishna consciousness movement must be spread through the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Does it mean through Nam Sankirtan?
It means mercy can mean his personal mercy. You may have a relationship as a person. It can also mean the instructions he's given. following the instructions he's given. It may also be the Sangatan movement itself. It may be the disciplic succession that is arranged for this particular time. So many things. Mercy will come in so many forms. But definitely the three main avenues, if you look at Mahaprabhu's teachings in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the three main avenues are going to be Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and Harinam. These three. When Rupa Goswami experienced the mercy and magnanimity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayati Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurtu Shivanamanaha. Offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is more magnanimous than any other avatar, even Krishna himself, because he is bestowing freely what no one else has ever given, he loves Krishna. Read the last para. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mission is the deliverance of all fallen souls in Kali Yuga. Devotees of Krishna must persistently seek the favor and mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to become fit to return home back to Godhead. Very interesting. So we're getting some idea that this mission is not a rajasic mission. It's not preoccupied with scores and achievements. It's a mission of compassion. It's a mission of Mahaprabhu's compassion. We are humble order suppliers, order servant carriers of that compassion of Mahaprabhu. You have a question?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Sometimes I have a very mixed feeling, Mataji. Mm. When we read, there is a lot of hope in the when we read this.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I do a reality check, because when you started yesterday the class beginning, you said that while the demigods are the devotees of the Lord, but there is a very, very peculiar nature. Mm-hmm. You said they are devotees, but they are really attached to the material desires.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So then when I find myself that I feel that like Krishna says, they have Krishna Shasti, like there's nothing is lost.
Mm.
But some point of time, some days it comes that I feel actually I don't have no taste. I mean, I'm doing this what you just said ritual, and but some days it is yes, you're into it thoroughly, you know.
Mm.
So then when you're just into ritual, then actually then I don't understand that how it relates, whether it's some progress is there.
Mm.
I mean,
well, this is a nature of unsteady.
Yes.
So then, the checklist that I've given, if you're serious, you're going to follow it. How to rise above unsteady. I've given you the checklist today. So if you're serious, you work with it. Yeah, it's as simple as that. Otherwise, you're going to stay unsteady. How many lifetimes?
Yes.
You have to take help from the acharyas. How to deal with this. Huh? Work on it. Work on it. Yeah? Not to sit there and someone will touch you on the head. Or, you know, it doesn't happen like that. You gotta work at it. Okay, so give it a try.
The page is like a Bible, man.
What's that?
The page is like a Bible.
Fact.
Everything is there.
Yeah. At every level. Yeah. Practically, mindset, mood, everything is there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's genius. It's his genius. His formula for coming to Nishtha. Who's going to refuse it? Who with any intelligence is going to say, well, I don't need that? It's such a powerful checklist. Will you use it? Okay.
What do you mean is persistently seek the favor and mercy?
What's that? Persistently, beggars are very persistent.
Yes.
If I've got everything I need, occasionally I run out of something, I'll go and ask for it. But if I'm aware of my position as a beggar, that's our position. everything we have, everything we're so proud of, is borrowed property. You only can take it back at any time. You've had personal experience of that recently. You can take it back at any time. So proud of my intelligence. You can take it that away. You may have an accident, heart attack, strokes, or anything. So proud of my bank balance, monetization. So many things. You can take it all away. So we're in the mood of a beggar, then we're persistent. We're aware of our actual position. We're persistent. Yeah? Yeah.
Now, at this time, we're at the unsteady level.
Right.
You've given us a checklist. But being at the unsteady level, sometimes the mind says, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't follow this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has its own program. So the idea is to do this with determination, even if the mind is telling you not to do it.
Of course.
So.
That's the whole purpose of the Acharya and Guru giving instructions. Because we've given power of attorney to the mind. So basically, we're, you know, very proud of our being in control of things. Mm-hmm. I'm making the decisions. Mm-hmm. It's complete illusion. We're under the control of the material energy, the modes, and the mind. They're dragging us around and we think we're in control.
Mm-hmm.
So to take that back, you have to hold on to something very strongly. If you're in a strong wind, don't want to get blown away.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to hold on to something, and you're not going to stay standing up. You're going to dive for the floor. It's not going to disturb you so much if you're humble. So then you hold on to something. You're not blown away by the wind.
Yeah.
So in the same way, then you build your strength. The Acharyas are giving you an alternative. You've given a power of attorney to the mind. Why not give it to the instruction of Guru? Give power of attorney to Bhaktivinoda Thakura's checklist.
Yes.
See how you go. Now the other thing that's very interesting about this last verse of this song is that we're going to set out to propagate the sacred order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, it's not that we're going to do that independently. Not that we're going to have our own mission without starting the shedding, or something. We're not going to do that. Some people do that. But that's not our program. Our program is, okay, it's Mahaprabhu's mission, but he has his generals. One of those generals is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Bhandacharya Viscon. His mission is our mission. Now very, very important that we not only understand Prabhupada's mission, but we understand his mood. Now, some people, they think, well, you know, that Bhaktivedanta, he didn't give everything. But just look at it from one angle of vision. There are many ways we could look at that statement. Very fallacious statement. But one way we can look at it is, if Radharani has told Champakalata, your daily service is to make sweet rice, your daily service is to make sweets. All she knows is sweets. She doesn't know how to do anything else. Nothing good to her.
Very appropriate.
You know, the thing is that that specific mission has been given to Prabhupada. His mission is the external mission of Mahaprabhu. Go out. I want you to garland this entire universe. Vrindavan Sankirtan and Prem. I even amongst the untouchables. Prabhupada's whole audience, India or anywhere else, untouchables. This is the mission Mahaprabhu has given him. So somebody can say, well, he's not doing that. He's not doing this. That's true. He's not doing this and that. But he's doing what Mahaprabhu has taught him to do. That's his mission. So then, if we are followers of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, his mission is our mission. People may criticize and may do so many things. To hell with it. What's the value of the criticism? The thing is, Mahaprabhu has sent him with his mission. We are in his line. Our mission is his mission. Then you are so amazingly fit, you know, you've got it all going for you. Externals, what's that guy doing? Where's his bhajan? They talk like that. But you know, the absorption in the acharya's mission, you got it home and made. It's everything is there in that. Just in that. You know, externally, doesn't look so impressive. You know? The sahajas are into externals. Doesn't look so impressive. But you look at it in real terms, solid. Fully avesh with the acharya. You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. And you see that actually the parampara, why is it so strong? How can it maintain that strength? Only when it's a heart-to-heart connection of one Vaishnav sold out to the next Vaishnav, who sold out to the next Vaishnav. It's a sellout. You have to be sold out. Doesn't matter what people say. So much fallacious nonsense going on in the movement. Well, Prabhupada said that in the 70s, but what's the relevance of it now? How does that make sense? How does that make sense? Veda means eternal. It's carrying on. Not just a matter of 40 years and it's over.
What strikes me is if Prabhupada said 40 years ago is not valid, then what Goswami said 500 years ago, how's that valid?
Fact. That's also true. Yeah, I mean, nothing makes... It's all illusory. It doesn't really make any sense. But we get caught up in it. So we have to be very careful. So I thought we'd have a look at how this being sold out, this is actually the chain that carries compassion into this world. It's a mission of compassion, but that is carried. That compassion is carried, not by any one individual thinking, I'm great, I'm so kind. That compassion is carried by being sold out to the previous acharya. And then the link continues. When the link doesn't continue, no more compassion, only confusion. So let's have a look at Prabhupada's prayer to the lotus feet of Krishna. Quite an amazing prayer. We have so much to learn from Prabhupada, actually. I emphatically say to you, brothers, you will attain good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is very dear to Lord Gauranga, the son of Mother Sachi, is unparalleled in his service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. He is that great saintly spiritual master who bestows intense devotion to Krishna at different places throughout the world. Bhaktisiddhanta never left India. By his strong desire, the holy name of Lord Gauranga was spread throughout all the countries of the Western world. So Prabhupada is saying, I am only an avenue, an instrument of my Gurudev's strong desire. That's all I am. I have no credentials. I'm just an instrument of my Gurudev's strong desire. In all cities, towns, and villages on earth, from all the ocean, seas, rivers, and streams, everyone will chant the holy name of Krishna. As the vast mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conquers all directions, a flood of transcendental ecstasy will certainly cover the land. When all the sinful, miserable living entities become happy, the Vaishnava's desire is then fulfilled. Although my Guru Maharaj ordered me to accomplish this mission, I am not worthy or fit to do it. I am very fallen and insignificant. Therefore, O Lord, now I am begging for your mercy so that I become worthy. You are the wisest and most experienced at all. So amazing mercy. So I want to continue on with this move. We'll find it in his other prayer, Makane Bhagavad Dhamma, in the bold print on the second page underneath the quote from Bhagavatam. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Can you see how it is lining up completely? It's not my desire, it's Gurudev's desire. It's not my ability, it's Krishna's empowerment. It's so amazing. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel gladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. Factually speaking, we have only two choices. I can be Maya Devi's puppet, or I can be Gurudev's puppet. Only two choices. No other choices. Oh Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance, oh Lord, make me dance as you like. Let my dancing be pleasing to you. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. This is Prabhupada's instruction to us. Okay, I don't have any knowledge. I don't have any devotion. But all I really need is strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Signed, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So you can see that this mood. It's not expertise. Some of Bhaktivinoda Thakura's disciples, amazingly erudite, amazingly accomplished in bhajan, amazing people. You cannot deny that. But what do they accomplish? In terms of fulfilling Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mission, what do they accomplish? What did Prabhupada accomplish? It's all in the mood. It's all in the understanding that I am nothing more than an insignificant little part of this disciplinary session. just a little link. And that's so powerful. Just that this, you know, whatever we're doing, we're raising children, we're doing business, whatever we're doing, we're getting old, we're getting sick, whatever we're doing, let me do this as servant of Guru. Okay. We need role models. We need role models how to grow old Krishna consciously. We need role models how to raise the family Krishna consciously. We need role models how to have a business and do it Krishna consciously. So, you know, like all these areas. You know, you look at some of our senior preachers spend a lot of time in hospitals, usually the same hospitals. The staff of those hospitals are so attached to those devotees. They're all chanting Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. So he's not going in, that person is not going in, oh, I'm so sick. I am this body and I am so sick. If he is going into that mood, into the hospital in that mood, how come everybody in the hospital is attached to him? How come everybody in the hospital wants to do what he does? Chant Hare Krishna. How come? It's not his mood when he goes into the hospital. He was asked, Japa Chakramaj, he was asked, you're going into the same hospital so much time in the hospital, who else is going to preach to these people? Who else is going to preach to these people?
Can I share something? He's right now in Chennai hospital. He moved from Mayapur because it requires 6 hours once the liver becomes available. He has to be there within 6 hours. And from Mayapur, he cannot be there in 6 hours. So he's in Chennai. And he wrote a letter to all the disciples. And he said that, I'm in the hospital, but I can give classes. So, you know, please contact my secretary to schedule classes.
Is that for a liver transplant?
Yes.
Where would our mind be? Quite something. But, as Sukadeva said to Parikshit Maharaj, give up this animalistic tendency, propensity of thinking I'm going to die. This going on to a new service field. That's all we're actually doing. Okay, let's have a look. Now I want to move on to the next song, the last song of Sharanagati. Very amazing song. Let's just read through it. Sidharani, would you like to read it?
Yes. What power does the name of Krishna possess? My heart constantly burns in the fire of worldly desires, just like a desert scorched by the rays of the sun. The holy name, entering the core of my heart, through the holes of my ears, showers unparalleled nectar upon my soul. The holy name speaks from within my heart, moves onto the tip of my tongue, and constantly dances on it in the form of transcendental sound. My throat becomes choked up, my body shivers again and again, and my feet cannot remain still. Rivers of tears flow from my eyes. Perspiration completely soaks my body. All my skin thrills with rapture. My hair stand on end and my complexion turns pale and discolored. My mind grows faint and I begin to experience devastation and my entire body is shattered in a flood of ecstatic emotions. While causing such an ecstatic disturbance, the holy name showers liquid nectar on my heart and drowns me in the ocean of divine love of Godhead. He does not allow me to understand anything, for he has made me truly mad by having stolen away my mind and all my resources. Such is the behavior of him in whom I have taken shelter. I am not capable of describing all this. The holy name of Krishna is independent and thus acts on his own sweet will. In whatever way he becomes happy, that is also my way of happiness. The holy name is the bud of the flower of divine love and is the very abode of astonishing mellows. Such is the power he manifests that when his holy name starts to blossom a little further, it then reveals his own divine form and qualities. Thus my heart is abducted and directly taken to Krishna. Blossoming fully, the flower of the holy name takes me to Braj and reveals to me his own loved alliance. This name gives to me my own eternal spiritual body, keeps me right by Krishna's side, and completely destroys everything related to this mortal frame of mine. The name of Krishna is a transcendental touchstone, a mine of all devotional mellows. It is eternally liberated and the embodiment of pure rasa. When all impediments to the pure chanting of the holy name are taken away and destroyed, then my happiness will know its true awakening.
Such an amazing journey, this in this one song. We're starting from a very pitiable position, not even really at the stage of Shraddha, and he's taking us in 8 verses through to Vastasiddhi. Mm-hmm. And all by the potency of the holy name. All by the potency of the holy name. So what is stopping us from surrendering to Nam and from experiencing his unbeatable mercy? The clue is given in the first verse. Let's read it again. What power does the name of Krishna possess? My heart constantly burns in the fire of worldly desires, just like a desert scorched by the rays of the sun. The holy name entering the core of my heart through the holes of my ears showers unparalleled nectar upon my soul. So the problem is we're not listening to the holy name. Our ears are closed. Our ears are closed, and so he can't enter our hearts. He is entering the core of our heart. The core of our heart is where we sit. So he hasn't got access because the ears are closed. He can't enter. So he can't invite us into Krishna's world. It's a very unfortunate and very sad state. I want to first have a look at this misfortune through the eyes of Srila Prabhupada, and then we'll have a closer look at it through the eyes of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So have a look at your hand up. Do I have a hearing problem? Just some simple little simple little statements from Prabhupada. Do I have a hearing problem? No one has to purchase a tongue. We also have ears with which to hear the sound that the tongue vibrates. Therefore we have all the instruments we need with us. A tongue and ears. We have only to chant Hare Krishna and use our ears to hear this vibration, and all perfection will be there. We don't have to become highly educated scientists or philosophers. We only have to chant and hear. So sometimes we fall into the illusion that I have to chant my rounds. Half the problem is that we think I have to chant my rounds. What we should think is I have to chant and hear my rounds. Then you're on the right path. Adavari.
I'm thinking I'll start singing now. I'll hear my round now. Not say I chant.
Oh, dangerous statements. Put that one in the air. Maya will have a feast tomorrow. She'll eat you alive.
What tell me what?
Then, first thing is, I cannot chant attentively. I cannot hear my chanting. Harinam is transcendental sound vibration. I am not transcendental. Only by the mercy of Mahaprabhu can I hear my rounds. So then before I start chanting, I'm going to pray to Mahaprabhu. And you're telling my Devi also, I can't do it. I admit I can't do it. Don't attack me today. I can't do it. I'm praying to Mahaprabhu. I'm praying to Mahaprabhu. Please, Mahaprabhu. And when you start trying to hear your chanting, it will be such a yajna.
Oh.
I once asked Mokrishna Maharaj, how do I know whether I've chanted good rounds or not? That's just a funny, you know, fun little question. How do I know whether I've chanted good rounds or not? He said, if you finish the session feeling like you've had heart surgery, it's good rounds. Because when you start to hear, you try to start to hear, you realize, my God, how much time I've wasted. Mindness has been carrying me all over the universe, and I'm so proud of my 16 rounds, or my lakh, or my 3 lakhs. What's the value of it? Chant and hear. And you'll realize, you know, the heart will be activated. When you actually hear your chanting, it's interesting because a lot of devotees say, oh, you know, like preoccupation should be 64 rounds. But I can tell you, if you chant 16 rounds, hear 16 rounds, Nam will keep you busy 24 hours. You pray to him, engage me in your service. He'll keep you busy. He'll keep you so busy. You hear one round, it's enough to keep you busy all day. It's a fact. You can chant 64 rounds as a ritual and just sit there, a lethargic mess, doing nothing. Or you can chant 16 rounds a day and be dynamo. So much energy, spiritual energy, but you're moving all over the place. Nam has desires he wants fulfilled. Yeah? So we don't ever think, I will hear my rounds. Very dangerous. We can't do it. We depend on the mercy of Mahaprabhu. We pray to Gurudev. We pray to Nam. But we can't do it. Who are we? You know, tiny, tiny, tiny. Is it okay?
Yes.
Okay. So the Bodhi says to Srila Prabhupada, this was in 1972, the Radha-Damodar temple. It was Malati, actually. Srila Prabhupada, it is very difficult to control my mind when I chant, it wanders. Srila Prabhupada answered, so what is this controlling of mind? You have to chant and hear, that is all. You have to chant with your tongue and the sound you hear. What is the question of mind? Mind's not in the picture. We're giving it access. You know, you're in a movie theater, you want to see a good movie. In a movie theater, and somehow or other, Langur gets in on the act and comes into the theater room, you know. Complete chaos. Nobody can concentrate on the movie. But the Langur doesn't have a ticket. So the mind doesn't have a ticket for this show. The mind does not have a ticket for this show. This show is ears, tongue. Ear and tongue show, that's all. Okay. In the beginning, we were curious about how to chant. What do you do when you chant, and what do you think? Srila Prabhupada said, two things. You don't do anything, and you don't think anything. You simply hear. I mean, these are sutras. These are such gems.
It took me 15 years for this. 15 years. Not joking, really.
Yeah. Simple for the simple. Yeah. Yeah. But most devotees, they don't catch it. Because it's not the preaching. The hearing. No, just chant. There are even whole schools, so-called schools, of chanting that their whole thing is you've got to chant a lakh a day. That's perfection, is to chant a lakh a day. Doesn't matter if you watch movies while you do it. Doesn't matter if you have a conversation while you do it. You get over that. Main thing is you chant a lakh a day. There are whole schools that have hundreds of followers that teach that kind of thing. But it's all process, voila. Because now they've got a real relationship with Nam. Here, Prabhupada is a Sambandha man. He's a Rupa Goswami man. So he's going to tell you practicality. Super simple. Super simple, straightforward practicality. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, according to the verdict of the Shastras, the process of hearing and chanting is the best means to attain loving service to Krishna. It is only by devotional service beginning with hearing that one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the only means to approach Him. Simply hearing submissively will free one's heart from all the faults of ignorance, and thus one will achieve deep love for Krishna. This is the path of peace. So this handout of Prabhupada quotes is dynamite. This is dynamite. If you can just, if all you can remember from this class is these quotes, life is perfect. No problems. Just take shot of it. It's so powerful. I also wanted to have a look at it in a little more sophisticated way from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because our minds, you know, they don't like things simple. They've always got, why? Why? Tell me why, then I'll shut up. Why? Huh? So it helps to know a little bit more. To keep the mind under control. So let's hear. Transcendental sound will be the agency. The mind and the body are upadhis, are external casings. The soul is actually free from all this. Our soul has to be set free from external contamination. All perishable values require to be eliminated. Then we shall see that we have devotion. We are devotees. Transcendental sound will be the agency. Sri Krishna Chaitanya has taught us to place our reliance solely on the name of Hari. The transcendental sound has got the potency to regulate our other senses. It is the absolute sound which will carry us to the region of the absolute. The kirtan of Hari is a constant and natural function of all the faculties of the jiva in its constitutional state, free from the affinities with this changeable world. That is because the absolute truth is identical with Hari. Hari has to be served exclusively, constantly, and by all the facilities of the soul. The only function of the voice is to chant the kirtan of Hari, which is identical with and inseparable from the simultaneous service of Hari by all the other senses. One who does not employ his voice constantly and exclusively in chanting the kirtan of Hari has no access to the service of Hari by any other faculty. This is why our acharyas are given us a program of daily chanting, Harinam. This is why Jiva Goswami in Bhaktisiddhanta tells us that no other service, no other activity is actually favorable or productive if it's not done with the holy name. Prabhupada himself said when they installed the deities here in Vrindavan that we had to invite the smartest and do all these rituals and everything for the deity installation to be acceptable by the local people. But actually, our performance of Nam Sankirtan is more than enough. More than enough. Inclination to kirtan affects Shravan and the opportunity for Smaran. At that time, there is a possibility of serving within Krishna's Astakaliya Leela. In all respects, pray to Sri Nam for his mercy. We could give a month of classes on these three lines. This is really quite something what he's saying here. If Sri Krishna's Sankirtan is not performed, then no other limb of bhakti, such as Maturavas or Sadhusanga, can be fulfilled. But if only Sri Krishna's Sankirtan is performed, then the results of Maturavasa, of Sadhusanga, of faithfully serving the deities and of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam are all fulfilled. Nam Bhajan completely fulfills the jiva's every need. Pretty amazing quote.
Mataji, this quote, Bhaktisiddhanta is first using Nam Sankirtan and then the last time he is using Nam Bhajan.
Mm.
So interchangeably.
Both. Both are needed. We can't just do Nam Sankirtan because we have to build individual spiritual muscle, devotional muscle. We have to build our individual relationship with the Holy Name.
What I meant was the opposite. Normally we are doing the Nam Bhajan and sometimes we do Sankirtan.
Yeah, but it's good if you do Nam Sankirtan every day because it strengthens your Nam Bhajan so much. It will increase your faith in Nam so much. It will clear the heart of so much rubbish so much more quickly so that you can have a decent Nam Bhajan session when you sit to be with Nam. So if the doer there, it may be just a simple thing. We have a tendency to think, it has to be this big. Then I'll do it. Then it has some meaning. It's this big. But it may be just 15 minutes of kirtan while you wash the dishes. You put on a favorite kirtan, you sing along, you absorb yourself in the kirtan, not the dishes. Maybe 15 minutes. It's powerful. It's very, very powerful. Nam is very, very powerful. We're not feeling the potency at the moment because there's so many coverings. So we have to remove those coverings to experience the potency of Nam's mercy. We do that by Nam Sankirtan. Just Nam Bhajan goes nowhere. It goes nowhere. You fall into the illusion you're a great bhajaneer. You know, Mahaprabhu will come to my place for lunch because I chant Alakaday. But what's the quality of that chanting? Am I hearing any of it? Nam Sankirtan, every day. Every day. If you're a follower of Mahaprabhu, Swayam Bhagavan Gaur, Harinam every day. Mahaprabhu spent 18 years in Puri. He went there primarily for his internal bhajan. But for the first 6 years, 2-3 times a day, Harinam Sankirtan, he was teaching the common devotee how to attain Krishna Prem. When he felt that he had done his work and he convinced a few others that this was the right way to go about it with the common mass of people, then he absorbed himself in his internal bhajan. You cannot, don't ever minimize Nam Sankirtan. The more the better. If you have to make a choice between numbers of japa and time with Sankirtan, always go, at our stage, always go for Nam Sankirtan. Because the Nam Bhajan will become dynamic. It will start moving. It won't be static anymore. It won't be a ritual anymore. By the mercy of Nam Sankirtan. So very, very important.
So Nam Sankirtan can be done alone also?
Yes. It's not alone.
It's not alone, yes.
You see, because this is the beauty, one of the beauties of Kali Yuga. Mm. You can go to, you know, so many festivals all over the planet. Mm-hmm. Huge kirtans. Mm. And you know, like amazing kirtaniers. Ayendra's not amongst us anymore, but so many videos of his kirtans.
Yes.
So he's leading the kirtan. What is Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Vaishnava never dies. Vaishnava never dies. He's always present in sound vibration. It's So always, you know, like maybe while you're doing your deity worship, nothing better. Nothing better than kirtan for the deities while you're serving them. Best time for kirtan is when you're taking care of the deities. So pleasing to them. I know. Wow. This is better than the meal I got. This is a real nourishment for the deities. This Nam Sankirtan, this Harinam, hearing and chanting. Okay. Is that okay?
Yes.
Is Sri Krishna saying Kirtan? Oh, we read that one. Okay, let's turn over and have a look. Oh, merciful Harinam, please enter my heart through my ears. Without Shravan, there is no Kirtan. First Shravan, then Kirtan. These are all quotes by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura. Unless accompanied by Shravan, any attempt to perform kirtan must be material. How is that? Mind is active. Mind is material. Unless accompanied by Shravan, any attempt to perform kirtan must be material. Repeated hearing gives rise to kirtan and smaran. Because what we're talking about here, when we're talking smaran, we're not talking what I read yesterday, what I read this morning. We're talking about waking up to who we are. The real smaran. Waking up to the reality of Krishna's form, qualities, pastimes, service. Unless accompanied by Shravan, any attempt to perform kirtan must be material. Repeated hearing gives rise to kirtan and smaran. By hearing kirtan, one begins to perform kirtan. And from performing kirtan, smaran of Harikatha awakens. The name of the Lord and the Lord Himself are not two separate entities, but one. When the sound of the holy name passes over the lips, the conditioned sense of hearing and the conditioned consciousness initially process the sound as if it were material, and that is how it is perceived. As a result, only the external ear hears it. Since the other senses and the mind, which is a collective sensory experience, are envious of the ear, which they consider to be an equal partner, the result is that such chanting does not affect the cleansing of anattas. If we want to cleanse anattas, the mind has to be convinced that the ear is more important than me, more important than the mind. The ear, in Vedic culture, it's not what we think, feel and will, it's what we hear that makes a difference. Ear, hearing is of the essence. We do not have the capacity even to theoretically know that the name and the Lord of the name are one. Yet just as piercing of the ear is one of the Vedic rites for a young child, when our spiritual ear has been pierced by the holy name, the other senses give up their envy of the auditory sense. They no longer quibble with the ear, which alone can perceive transcendental sound. Then the flood of prem pours forth from all the spiritual senses and cleanses away the contaminants of opposition and malice. Therefore, the Lord's beautiful form, qualities, associates, and pastimes are revealed in the name Himself and experienced by the chanter as something quite distinct from his previous experiences in the mundane world. Then the kinds of worries and distractions of the mind that are typical of the conditioned living being cannot remain. That will happen even at Namabhas. Technically speaking, Namabhas, we're talking Nista, we're talking liberated platform. So even at Namabhas, so many benefits are there. You're not going to be fearful, you're not going to be in distress, you're not going to be touched, you can't be touched by Tantra, you can't be touched by so many bad elements. Just by the mercy of Namabhas. But that's only a stepping stone. Liberation is just a stepping stone into the real world. So when we learn to hear as we chant, the opportunity to remember Krishna will automatically arise. How is that? Because when we learn to hear as we chant, it's like you had this stain on the floor. You've been scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing. Water scrubbing. Stain is still on the floor. Oh, I'm exhausted and the stain is still on the floor. But somebody comes along and says, what are you doing? Just put a bit of acid on it. Just put a bit of acid on it. This is what we mean when here. It's like putting acid on the stain. Just chanting is like scrubbing and scrubbing coal. Scrubbing and scrubbing coal. This looks black. No matter how much, one light, three lights, it looks the same. But here and chant. Stain on the floor, acid on the stain, no more stain. Heart is being purified. When the heart is purified and the mood is right, proper guidance from Guru is there, pastime, Krishna, everything's going to be revealed. In appropriate order. First and this, Krishna's form is going to manifest. Yesterday is going to manifest in your heart. And it all starts, you want that. You want that to be your reality. Starts here. Here. Now when you chant. When we learn to hear as we chant, the opportunity to remember Krishna will automatically arise. At that time, Hasta Kali Alila Smarana will become possible. Not mechanical rubbish. Read it, think it, read it, think it. It will come. It will stick. If you've got, you know, so much rubbish in the room that you can't walk into it, how is putting something on top of that rubbish going to do any good? It doesn't have any potency. It doesn't have any effect or it's not even desirable. At that time, Master Kali Lila Smile will become possible. There's no need artificially to try for it. But we should constantly pray to the Holy Name for His mercy, especially for the mercy to hear as we chant. So such treasures await us, but we have a hearing problem. The price is so minimal, but we have a hearing problem. The process is so simple, but we have a hearing problem. So what are we going to do? Go back to sleep? What are we going to do? We're going to try and hear.
Okay.
We're going to try and hear. Okay. Daily, surrender your ears to the Holy Name. Take shelter of the vibration of the Holy Name. Not the mind, not sleep, not internet. The vibration of the Holy Name. This is where Smarana begins. If we're looking at Jiva Goswami, Bhakti Siddhanta, as Sandhava. It starts, what is the first meditation on the vibration of the Holy Name? Everything is going to come from that vibration. Everything. Okay. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. 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 Namah.